guests who are visiting today, and we're very glad that you are in worship with us. Besides celebrating, of course, our country's independence, which we have done this weekend, I want to tell you that this is my one-year anniversary today. And I'm feeling sentimental on this day because I just want to thank you for the way you've received me and the way you have been the faithful people of God here at Calvary. I'm so proud to and pleased to be your pastor and to be in service with you in ministry, partnership in ministry together. I appreciate you all very, very much. And we pray this morning that God will continue to go with us on this journey that we are on and be with us not only here in this church, but in our nation and our country as well. And we pray God's blessing upon each and every single one of you. Let's greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Amen.
Good morning, Mr. Choir, thank you, George.
Amen.
If you don't know who I am Bob Seymour. I am one of the lay servants of this church and of the district, and I will be serving the Lord here this morning and serving you.
Amen.
Let's go to the announcements. We have Vacation Bible School starting July the 13th through the 17th this week, 9 a.m. to 12 noon for children 5 to 12 years of age. Did you lose me? Oh, okay. My ears must be going or something.
No, we got you.
The theme, Shining Star, See Jesus in Me. Come out this week. 9 to 12, ages 5 to 12.
Next week.
Next week. Fifth? Yeah, I guess so. I didn't have enough fingers, I'm sorry. Moving right along, statements. Your financial statements are in the back on the middle table. Please pick them up as you leave today. This is your second quarterly statement. had a thumbs up. Tomorrow is Max Wager's 70th birthday.
Really?
Max is early service, right?
Max is early service. Wow.
July the 26th, from 6 o'clock to 7:30, him sing an ice cream social. If you don't like to sing, come for that ice cream.
And if you don't like ice cream, there's no hope for you.
Hopefully you like singing.
We all sing for ice cream.
Yeah, we're all singing for ice cream. Very good, Larry.
Did everybody get that? The choir's input on this.
We like to sing.
If you look in your pews, there's a card that looks like this. This is for your good deeds that you've done this week outside of the church. If you've helped someone in some way, if you've invited them to church, in some way you've introduced Christ into their life, put this in the offering plate. We tally these and we tell the district and the conference what we've done by counting these. So please, if you've extended Christ to someone this week, put it in. Next week you'll have an opportunity to do it all again. Welcome cards are in the pews. Please take the time to fill them out if you're a guest with us here today. We'd like to know your name, your address, and how we can contact you. If you don't want us to contact you, please give us your name and let us know you were here. But we'd love to have the opportunity to give you more information about the church and what we're doing. On the back, there's comments and prayer requests. If you have a prayer request, please fill that out. If you have comments, please fill that out. But likewise, if you know someone is missing this morning from our congregation, please give us their name where it says comments. That will allow us to take the time to call them and find out what's going on and see if we can help. Pastor Esther, your announcement.
He's calling on me to make the announcement that we're establishing a new relationship with one of our elementary schools, W.E. Cherry, which is just across the road from us, not very far down the way. And they came to me, they approached me to see if we would adopt them and help them meet some needs that they have as a school. And Anne Flores, who's right here, raise your hand, Anne, so everybody knows who you are, is going to coordinate this, and we're going to collect a different item every month and then send it over to the school. So the month of July, for the rest of this month, we'll be collecting boxes of Kleenex and hand sanitizer. So for this month, if you go shopping and you see some hand sanitizer on the shelf or some Kleenex, put it in your cart and then bring it to us for this month, and we will take it over to W.E. Cherry Elementary School. There's a box out in the narthex there, but I think we're going to get a bigger box. Let's get a big box because we know it's going to get filled up. Yeah. All right, that was my announcement. I'm looking forward to this relationship that we're going to have with them. I know it's going to be a real good one. Thank you. Amen. I don't know the address, Karen, off the top of my head.
It's right off of Aurora.
Bring those things here.
Okay.
Bring those Madeira items Drive. Here, and we'll take them to the school.
Okay, I'm sorry. Madeira Drive, I'm being told, is the address back over in this area. If you will join me at this time with our opening prayer. Almighty God, you rule all the people of the earth. Inspire the minds of all women and men to whom you have committed the responsibility of government and leadership in our nations of the world. Give to them vision of truth and justice, that they, or counsel, all nations and people may work together. Give to the people of our country zeal for justice and strength of forbearance, that we may use our liberties in accordance with your graciousness will. Forgive our shortcomings as a nation. Purify our hearts to see the love, the truth.
We pray
all these through Jesus our Lord. Amen.
If you'd stand and turn in your hymnal to page 698, we'll sing God of the Ages.
Something to show you this morning, and I want you to tell me what this is.
A map.
What kind of a map?
The world.
The world. It's a map of the whole wide world. Can anybody find Jacksonville on this map? I bet you could. Right there. It says Jacksonville, doesn't it? Jacksonville is on the world map. I bet you didn't know that. Yeah, look how big that world is. Now, can anybody point to me where Jesus was born? You passed it. You went right over it with your finger. Right there. It says Jerusalem. Just outside of Jerusalem is a little place called Bethlehem.
And did you know that from that real little tiny place that the whole world knows about Jesus? Just about everybody, not quite everybody, but a lot of people know who Jesus is. And how do you think that happened from that one little tiny place on the map that's for the whole world that might know about Jesus? How did that happen, do you think? How did that happen, Bradley? He didn't travel out of Palestine after he was a child. Do you know? Tell me.
They wrote the Bible.
That we have a lot of people who helped write the Bible. Isn't that right? And that's one way we spread the news, isn't it? That's one way we spread it from that one little tiny place across the whole world. Tyler, you got that right. That was really great. Now, what else did they do to help spread the word of Jesus? What else did they do, Megan? They announced it to the world. They went to the stable when he was born. The angels announced it. Yep. But after Jesus was gone, after Jesus died and rose from the dead, and then he ascended into heaven, how do people know about Jesus? How do we spread the news about Jesus? We tell them, don't we? We tell them, and we show them by our actions who we are and what we believe. We spread the message of Jesus Christ to people in the world, and they still need to hear that message because not everybody has heard that message. But we spread the message of God's love found in Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection. And we are so fortunate to be here and to know God's love. But we need to take our responsibility seriously and spread it. And that makes us a missionary. You know what a missionary is? A missionary is someone who spreads the love of Christ and who spreads the love of God. That's a missionary. We have missionaries that go all over the world to teach people about Christ. But you can do your part by being a missionary right here. Did you know you could be a missionary? You can be. You can be a missionary. When you tell somebody about the love of Christ and the love of God in their lives, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. We thank you, O God, for the great gift of these children. They are such a blessing to us and to the world. They are your future, dear God, and we know that they will be your missionaries in the world to spread the love of Christ abroad. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Everybody get a piece? Had a good group up there today, didn't we? That was a nice group. And now I want to invite the ushers to come forward for our presentation of tithes and offerings. Let's bow our heads and pray. God, for all your many good gifts, we praise your name today. We praise you because all that we have comes from you. And we pray that you would bless us and bless these gifts for furthering your kingdom on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you.
of the living Christ was born across the sea, with the glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. Well, God is marching on.
Independence Day, I do want to mention about some of those that we know of that need our prayers, either because they're sick and at home or in the hospital. And so I would like to lift up these names to you. Lou Beatty, who continues to recover from her treatment on cancer. The treatment sometimes is almost as bad as the disease, and so she needs our prayers to surround her today. Tom and Rose Wheelhouse, who are both getting up in years, and when I ask them how they're doing, they say, getting old, that's how they're doing, but they are the dearest people in the world, and we love them and miss them. I want to mention that Marlene Stone needs our prayers, especially today. She was in the hospital overnight on Friday, and has since gone home, but she will continue to have tests as an outpatient, and so we need to remember Marlene this morning and her family. We have two people having surgery this week. Connie Laurie is getting ready to have some surgery. She comes to our early service, and Barbara Taylor is also going to have surgery this week. And I especially want to lift up a young family that's connected to our congregation through a church member. Gail Wager's daughter grew up with this young girl named Samantha, also known as Sammy, and she and her husband have had two children, and one of them, a five-month-old, passed away last week due to SIDS, the sudden infant death syndrome. And it's just a tragedy when a young child like that dies. It's hard on everybody in that family. And so we're going to try to minister to them and be pastor to them. They don't have their own church, and we will have a funeral service here on Tuesday at 10 o'clock for the little baby Sophia Rose McLean. And I want you to remember that family in your prayers today. Travis and Samantha for little baby Sophia Rose. Would you join with me in the printed bulletin insert that begins with the word pastor up at the top in our Independence Day litany? As we remember the birth of our nation and the gifts of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, let us offer our thanks and prayers to God, the giver of all good gifts. For the women and men who braved the long journey by sea to come to this new world.
We say thank you, Lord.
For the tribes and nations who inhabited this land for generation upon generation.
We thank you, Lord.
For patriots who dreamed of and fought for a free nation.
We thank you, Lord.
For the men and women who laid the foundation of our democracy and who pledged liberty and justice for all.
We thank you, Lord.
For those who built this country brick by brick, road by road, and town by town.
We thank you, Lord.
for the brave soldiers who have fought for our country, for all who paid for our freedom by their service, and those who paid by their sacrifice.
We thank you, Lord.
For the innovators and artists, poets and teachers, farmers and factory workers, for all who labor and provide for the common good.
We thank you, Lord.
For this land with its peaks and valleys, coasts and deserts, fields and meadows.
We thank you, Lord.
For our own community, for those who came before us in this place, and for our neighbors near and far.
We thank you, Lord.
Lord, we pray for the United States, that we might always be a nation which defends and promotes liberty and freedom, truth and justice.
We praise you, Lord.
That we might always be a nation where all are free to worship and pray.
We praise you, Lord.
That we might be a beacon of freedom to all those who live under the shadow of terror and hopelessness.
We praise you, Lord.
That those who are elected to govern and lead would be guided by you, yes, and be ever aware of the trust that has been given them.
We praise you, Lord.
And that we would be a people who repent from our sins and who always return to you and to your grace.
We praise you, Lord.
Gracious God, Father of all nations, bless and defend us and our land. Prosper the work of our hands and increase in us your grace and compassion and our offerings of thanks to you, our rock and our salvation, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Our scriptures this morning are found in Deuteronomy
10:17-21. Hebrews 11:8-16, and Matthew 5:43-48. In Deuteronomy. For the Lord your God is God of gods, and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, the awesome God who does not show partiality nor take bribes. He executes justice for the orphans and the widows, and shows his love for aliens by giving him food and clothing. So show your love for aliens, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and cling to him, and you shall swear by his name. He is your praise. He is your God, who has done these great and awesome things for you, which your eyes have seen. Continuing with Hebrews. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed, and by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs to the same promise. For he was looking for a city which has foundation, whose architecture and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sands which are by the seashore. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has provided a city for them. Continuing on to Matthew. You have heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the son of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sent rain to the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brother, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The word independent has almost universally positive connotations. People fill up their resumes describing how this or that experience made them more independent. And as our children grow up and take on more challenges by themselves, we point to their growing independence and maturity. Academics and intellectuals cherish the thought that they are independent thinkers. And of course, in the context of world politics, almost no other word carries the aura of statehood more than the word independent. It is the holy grail of would-be nations, a way to say the one has finally arrived at independence. And July 4th, perhaps, is imbued with that special aura more than any other national commemoration, even to the point of sanctity. And there are a good many reasons why this should be so. Humans are hardwired to be in community and to have shared bonds of identity and rituals that enforce that identity. The commemorations we have as the United States of America can help to make us a cohesive nation, give us a shared sense of pride and purpose, and help us to strive onward toward common goals and aspirations. However, observing anything religiously without asking ourselves on a regular basis why we're doing it is certain to lead to all sorts of problems. Just take a look at any conversation that Jesus had with the scribes and the Pharisees and the message that those encounters have for us in the church today. And so that ought to give us a little bit of a reality check when it comes to accepting things without looking at them. And so it is with Independence Day. We'll find it more meaningful and authentic when we take the time to unpack the meaning of it for us as Christians. Independence Day, of course, marks the point at which the United States was able to break free of the orbit and authority of England. We only need to look to Jesus to know what good authority looks like. He tells his disciples that true leaders are servants. If leaders are not prepared to submit to their own authority and to experience the life of the community, then perhaps something has gone very, very wrong. The American Revolution was a result, at least in part, of the almost total chasm between the distant rulers and their lowly subjects. The Founding Fathers strove to ensure that this chasm was closed and that it would be more difficult to open in the future. Naturally, of course, their work was not perfect. But it is right that Independence Day should mark these noble sentiments. However, that the Native American communities already living here when the settlers arrived were mostly not afforded the benefits of those sentiments is sometimes considered to be a national disgrace. In the epistle reading appointed for today, Paul writing to the Hebrews, we have to be careful not to read too much into it. It does not legitimize the belief that any of us, individuals or communities, have a God-given right to a particular piece of acreage on this planet. Because God has given this whole world into our care, and we are citizens of it under his rule. We are not owners, but custodians. When God led Abraham to the promised land, he did so on the understanding that custody of a place involved certain obligations. In our first reading from Deuteronomy, makes God's law clear for those who would set up a nation. Welcome the stranger with love, feed and clothe them, and act with justice to the weakest and most marginalized in your community. Expressed in the reading of Scripture as widows and orphans, who were the most marginalized in the time of the first century. We too are called upon to look after and care for the marginalized in our country. One of the most overlooked and but perhaps important parts of speech and grammar is the preposition. So what preposition would we insert with the word independence? We would probably say that we're celebrating independence from. But what if we saw it instead as independence to? Freedom is never just freedom from, it's also freedom to. The Founding Fathers didn't just want to be free from foreign rule, they also aspired to create a new way of being in community, a new way of governing. They wanted to build somewhere that was more equitable and was safeguarded against anyone getting too much power and influence. And so our celebrations of Independence Day need to include sober reflection on how we have compromised and strayed away from these ideals. One of the biggest questions that I think we need to ask ourselves on this National Day is, what does the word independent really mean? Stripped away from some of the positive connotations of being independent, what are we left with? That we don't want to be dependent on anyone or anything. It's hard to be the one who is dependent, but all of us are at some time or another. Jesus warns us of that kind of living in today's gospel reading. If you greet only your brother and sister, what more are you doing than others? He says. It also suggests that a culture of individualism and self-reliance, when left unchecked, can turn into a mistrust of others. Being dependent on others is not always a sign of weakness or of compromise. It can be a sign of strength. It is the ultimate sign that we trust another person. And it recognizes, in fact, that we are the body of Christ when we become dependent on one another. The body of Christ, where we need everyone with their separate gifts and specialities. We need everyone in order to be complete. And so on this Independence Day, let's also think of it as Interdependence Day, a day when we celebrate not only being free from unjust rule, but also a day when we commit ourselves anew to extending liberty and justice to everyone who seeks it without partiality. This is our task as an independent people, to follow the rule of law and to follow the love of God, to care for the widow and orphan, and to reach out in love and concern to all in need today. We come to the table of our Lord when I invite you to come. I always say this is not my table, it is the Lord's table. And I can also say it's not our government's table. We can come here and worship freely. We're not told how to worship. We're not told who to worship. We have freedom to worship. And we come this morning to God's table, knowing that it is God's gift that we are here. As much as we celebrate and honor this day in our national history, we are here, we are worshiping God today in freedom. When Jesus gathered with his friends on his last night on earth, he sat with them and broke bread. And he said, "This is my body, and it will be broken for you. Eat this and remember me." He took the cup of the wine and he said, "This represents my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me and be thankful." Christ's body and Christ's blood poured and broken for you, that you may find new life in him. You are invited to come, not because you're a member, not because you're a man or a woman, not because you're an American or another nationality. We have many nationalities represented in our congregation. You are invited to come because you are a child of God. And as a child of God, come and be blessed by these gifts. The blessing of new life offered to you today. First, the choir I will invite to come, and they will kneel and partake. Then you will be guided by the ushers to come. Will you come to the Lord's table? Celebrate being an American either.
Yes.
We are Americans every day, and we celebrate that fact every single day. And I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your weekend. And I'm to let you know that you can take the balloons with you. They are free for you if you would like to have a red, white, or blue balloon. And pray your blessing. Pray God's blessing on you this week. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you. Go in His love and peace. Amen.
Thank you.